Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Jay Zawoski, our executive producer, and somebody who follows the Blackhawks as closely as anyone anywhere. Last night really sucked. I was into it, too. I was watching the game, and it was a sprightly affair after two periods. What the hell happened? What did it mean?
Well, they came out flat as hell, as they've been doing lately, kind of scared to lose, very low energy, afraid to make a mistake, and they got down early very quickly and had to battle back. Robin Lehner had a bad game. He's given up 20 goals in his last five starts. He has not been good lately. And there's been some speculation that some of the trade and contract negotiation stuff has been affecting him a little bit. I don't know if I believe that as much as he's probably just dog tired from carrying the team all year. But he wasn't good again. And then they give up five goals in the third period. And you've got your top pair defensemen, Duncan Keith and Adam Boqvist, getting split over and over again. It was an all-around really bad night. When you look at the numbers, the shots on goal were pretty much even. The possession numbers were pretty even. But just the compete level for the Blackhawks was not there from the start.
So they're not going to get there. No. They're 8 points out of the second wild card spot. I think you could probably write that off at this point. What needs to be done for the future of this? Because I know you've written and talked about a bunch in the podcast that a full rebuild here seems incredibly unlikely for this team.
Yeah, there's no real sign that Stan Bowman and company are looking to do a full rebuild. They're not going to trade Jonathan Toews. They're not going to trade Patrick Kane. Maybe that's the right thing to do realistically from a hockey standpoint, but it's unrealistic. The real problem is they don't have any prospects in the system aside from defenseman Ian Mitchell, who hasn't signed with the team yet, and Nicholas Beaudin, who was a first-round pick that we haven't really heard much about. They've got an entire Rockford team full of fourth-line players. There's no one on the horizon, so they've got to add at this deadline some NHL-ready talent. Maybe they're not going to get top-end players, but they need some depth on this team because they just don't have it. That, to me, more than draft picks, is they've got to get some talent that is ready now.
What's up with Gustafson? Because the guy can quarterback a power play. The guy really has some skills, but it's the stopping the other team from high danger chances problem that ends up being the issue. That whole thing.
The defending part of being a defenseman. Yes, that's a problem. He will almost certainly be traded at the deadline. A lot of guys, his level, have been traded for like second and third or 2 seconds, something like that. So that's probably a reasonable expectation. He's going to get decently paid this summer. The Hawks can't afford it. They've got to give a new contract to Dylan Strome. Dominic Kubalik needs a new deal. Oh, and hey, they need a goalie. Maybe it's Robin Lehner. Maybe it's not. But they're going to have to pay somebody to be the number one goalie because they, again, have no one in Rockford ready to take on a full-time job. Colin Delia or Kevin Lankinen could be a decent backup, but they don't have a starter. And they've been trying to work out a deal here with Robin Lehner. And from what I'm hearing, the issue has been term, not money. So I don't know if Robin Lehner wants 5 or 6 years and the Hawks only want to give him 3 to 4. But they've got to figure this out because if they're not going full rebuild, you've seen this team play this year. They absolutely need an all-star level goalie to keep them competitive most nights.
Agreed.
Percent chance they trade one of two goalies.
High. 90% chance at least one of those guys is gone. I think they're going to trade Lehner. That is probably their most valuable trade piece. And from what I've been able to glean about Robin Lehner this season, I don't think he's the kind of guy who will hold it against the Blackhawks for trading him at the deadline. He gets how the business end works. He was very impressed by how they pitched him to join the team in the first place, and he understands where they are at this point in the season. So the fear is if you trade him, to a team looking for a goalie like Colorado or Carolina, that they just go ahead and lock him up right away, and you don't even get a shot at him this summer.
So there is cap space available because of the moves you made with Seabrook, and I forget the other guy on long-term IR. But DeHaan, thanks. So there's money there. Can you take a bad contract and grab draft picks, or are the Blackhawks going to have to, because that would only be a one-year deal because they're tied up to money later, does that limit their ability to move that way?
I think you'd be able to do something like that. I propose on the podcast, and it's not something I've heard about, but just a sort of an example, if the Detroit Red Wings want to pick up a prospect, maybe they'd want to move you a guy like Mike Green, an aging defenseman, high contract, who's not doing anything for Detroit. That way, if you trade Gustafson, you have a guy that can fill his shoes for the rest of the year.
Body, yeah.
If you still think the playoffs are a little bit of a chance, I still think they're not at all a chance, but technically they're still in it. That's something they can consider. But I think right now the priority needs to be maximizing return for the assets you have, and it's going to lead to a painful end of the season, but it's the best thing to do going forward for the team.
If it's painful, what does that mean for Jeremy Collison?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I don't really understand what Jeremy Collison's future is. McDonough talks about, you know, holding people accountability, and I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anyone held accountable. You know, there's rumors that Stan Bowman signed a contract extension last summer. It hasn't been reported. Elliot Friedman had it in June, and recent conversations I've had have sort of confirmed that thought that, yeah, maybe that deal was signed and just not announced. So that would indicate to me that Stan Bowman's not going anywhere either. So it's hard to say. How can you fire Jeremy Cowan and keep Stan Bowman as your GM? You let him fire Joel Quenneville. You let him bring in his hand-picked guy. All of his free agent signings haven't worked out because you traded for Andrew Shaw and Calvin DeHaan, two injury-prone guys that, guess what? They're injured, and they're not playing and not contributing, and you have a bunch of draft picks gone for those two trades. So how do you let him try it again? How many more chances does he get?
The only answer to that is full rebuild, correct?
But they won't do that.
Right, and that's the thing. They won't.
They're in hockey hell, as Dan calls it, with the Bulls and the NBA.
It's so similar to the Bulls. When you thought that this year, well, you know, we just shore this up and we get a Tomas Satoransky and
Calvin DeHaan.
Right? You get Thaddeus Young, and you have these veteran guys who might just be right, and then we make a run at it and it fails on you.
You have to wonder with both teams what a better coach would have done, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to damn Jeremy Colleton by comparing him to somebody who's generationally bad as Boylan.
I don't think that Jeremy Colleton is a bad coach per se. I think
you're right.
He could be a successful coach down the road. But to bring him in the way they did, replacing a legend in a room full of guys with skins on the walls, many of them that are older than Jeremy Colleton, how is he going to tell Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith how to play hockey? With a straight face.
Well, they didn't take to it very well.
No, they didn't.
Judging from the stuff that Duncan Keith has said about being able to do what no longer being able to operate as they see fit, having a little more structure in there. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. You want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves and earn a $5,000 signing bonus? Visit the Sprint store on Lamont Road in Darien between 1 and 3 p.m. this Saturday. Jay, zooming out, how much of all of this, the situation that they're in, call it hockey hell, call it what you want, how much of this really is still because they play in a hard cap league? You're just growing old with Taves and Kane and Seabrook and Keith, and they chose to do what they had to do when they were in their window, and this is simply the price of being in the championship business.
Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins aren't in this situation. The Boston Bruins aren't in this situation. Here's the Stan Bowman problem, and I do think still Stan Bowman is an above average NHL GM, but Bowman gives market value and term and no movement clauses. You can't do all of those things. You can't give aged Brent Seabrook an 8-year extension for $6.875 million that still has 4 years on it after this season.
I forgot it was four.
With a full no movement clause. You can't give it all. Say, look, if you want the money and you want the term, I've got to be able to trade you. Bowman doesn't do that. When you look at the Boston Bruins roster, guys like Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, they're all paid under market value because those guys took that $1 million less or whatever to stay with the team and keep them competitive. Do you remember Richard Panik?
Yeah, sure.
He was out of hockey. came to the Blackhawks, out of hockey in the NHL, rather.
Yeah.
Came and played for the Blackhawks, had some success, and was a free agent at the end of the year. He said he signed immediately because they were blown away by Stan Bowman's first offer. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you're offering me that. Yes, absolutely, we're going to sign that. They had to trade him the next season. Stan Bowman doesn't negotiate. He negotiates against himself.
It's like when you tip in tipping in a foreign country and the person looks at you and goes, thank you, sir.
Yes, you right. don't go to Oops. Richard Panik, who is out of hockey, and say, how about $2.7 million?
It's like how Jim Hendry got Alfonso Soriano for $40 million. Okay, one thing I wanted to back up on. So I'm watching the end of the first period. The Blackhawks have the power play. That goes by the boards, and then there's a breakaway down to the other end, and Leonard turns it aside, and the time expires. So as I'm catching my breath and realizing that I got to make some food and watching the period break stuff, they're talking a lot about the trade deadline. How does – and I was a little stunned that as much of the conversation that centered around the Blackhawks was also centered around Brandon Saad. How does the rest of the league look at Saad, do you think?
An affordable – young player under control for another year. $6 million in this NHL is not that much anymore.
So a notch above a Flyer?
You mean like just...
like taking a Flyer on a guy? Not a Philadelphia Claude Flyer.
Giroux or Gritty. Yeah, this is a guy that you'd have for another season at $6 million. And you can never have too many power forwards. Those guys are invaluable. Brandon Saad's experience, especially in the playoffs, he's having a really, really good year. Even though the numbers aren't through the roof, aside from Kane and aside from Leonard, he has been probably the most consistent Blackhawk. So he's got some value. I don't think they need to rush to trade him, but if some team's going to blow them away, he's only 27 years old. Think about how long he's been in this league and what he's accomplished. I think if I was a team in the playoff race, Brandon Saad would be an absolute priority for me to add, and maybe the Hawks can take advantage of that and get a decent prospect and a pick or two back.
You mentioned Gritty. Is there a world where the Blackhawks could trade Tommy Hawk and a future first-round pick for Gritty?
No, because Stan Bowman signed Tommy Hawk to a $10 million contract with a no-movement clause.
Why did Alex DeBrincat go from 41 goals down to 14?
Well, I don't know the answer to that specifically. He's had some really bad luck. He has not been going to the places to score where he typically goes.
That's what I loved about his game.
He had the post on one last night that spot.
I've never seen a post hit more cleanly either.
Oh, my God, did he ring the bell? I mean, my Lord.
Absolutely. I think a bit of it now is the fact that he's struggling to score is getting to him. Mm. You see it affecting his game. You can read in his body language, that he's frustrated with the fact that he's struggling. Here's another factor, too, and I'm not saying this critically. It could be something subconscious. Alex DeBrincat, in his first two seasons in the league, was overcoming all the criticisms that he was too small. He's never going to make it. He can't make it in the NHL. A guy his size will never have success. He scores 41 goals last season, signs a $6.4 million contract that kicks in next year, last summer. Maybe now that chips off his shoulder a little bit. And he's already proven himself. He's got nothing more to show. And maybe now he learns, kind of like what Javier Baez said, I can't just get by on talent. The chip on the shoulder matters. Preparation matters. And maybe this season he'll learn some sort of lesson about how he prepares and how he goes about the daily routine.
So he's a cub.
Yeah, basically.
It's a rough year to learn your human, but that's learning your human. Or a cub, as you say. That works. Man.
Jay, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Jay.
You're welcome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.